Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DIA Sorin fourth quarter 2008 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DIA Sorin. Please, go ahead, Mr. Rosa.
Thanks a lot. Good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to the DIA Sorin conference call on the quarter results. I will make a very brief introduction, as usual, to the quarter results, and then I will allow Mr. Rinaldi, the Chief Financial Officer of the group, to comment on the financials. We are pleased to report that on quarter four results, things went very well in line with what we have seen consistently over the last quarters. Revenues grew by almost 34%. In this case, the exchange rate in the fourth quarter has been favorable. At constant exchange rate, it would have been 33, so 1 percentage point less. Talking about the geographies, we had a strong growth in most of the geographies, double-digit growth everywhere from mature markets to emerging markets. I would like to comment on North America, which is still booming as a result of the increased demand for vitamin D tests and infectious disease. Quarter four sales were up almost 68%. It would have been at 59% at a constant exchange rate versus previous year. We continue to place liaisons in the U.S. market, both at the hospital level as well as in the central labs. Overall, the liaison install base grew by 120 units in the fourth quarter, spread over all the main geographies. In the U.S., this has to do with, again, lots of interest on vitamin D. In the other geographies, the success of the infectious disease strategy. When it comes to the financials, Andrea will be more specific, although let me remark that we had a gross margin improvement of almost 42% and EBIT improvement of 74%. All these together generated earnings increase of 66% versus last quarter. So I would say that the company continues with a successful strategy driven by products and geography expansion. And now Andrea is going to guide you through all the results.
Thank you, Carlo. Good morning or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. What I'm going to do in the usual fashion is to take you through the key elements of the profit and loss, providing thereafter a few more details over the development and the drivers of the performance of the fourth quarter in terms of sales, so development of the top line and the improvement in margins. And then we can go into the details of the balance sheet. So if you turn to slide number two, you can see the comparison between quarter four results in 2008 and quarter four in the previous year. We closed the quarter with revenues on a consolidated basis of 68.5 million euros, which represents a growth of close to 34% versus previous year. As Carlo already mentioned, there is a favorable exchange rate effect which accounts percentage point. I have to say that there is clearly also a contribution to the development of the business in 2008 versus 2007, driven by the inclusion within the consolidation area of Biotrim products, which accounts for about 4.2 percentage points. So all in all, the organic, if you wish, growth of the revenues would be in the quarter would be in the range of 28%. Gross profit has grown more than, significantly more than proportional to the turnover. This is clearly driven by the improvement margin level. And we'll discuss later on the drivers, but as you can see, the margin grew by, the gross margin grew by almost 4 percentage points versus the quarter four of 2007. And the performance mirrors what you just, what you already saw in the third quarter of 2008. Operating expenses grew by 17% versus previous year, so moving from 21 million in quarter 407 to 24.7 million in quarter 408. That development is far less than proportional to the development of the business. In fact, the ratio to the turnover of OPEX has moved down by 5 percentage points from 41 last year to 36 at the end of 2008. When you look at the development of operational expenses, you have to bear in mind that within this number in 2008 has also been included the operational expenses related to the new initiatives of geographical expansion, like Austria and the Czech Republic, and, of course, the operational expenses related to Biotrain, which in the previous year were not included. You will find that we have exposed a pro forma 2007 within our management discussion and analysis that you can find on the website. Now, as we come down to the EBIT and the EBIT margin, on a comparable basis, the operating profit has grown by 73.5%, moving from 11 million last year to almost 20 million in 2008, with a steep development in the margin to the turnover, which moved by from 22.3% up to almost 29% at the end of the quarter. Net financial expenses have grown significantly. This, as you may recall, already from quarter four last from quarter three in 2008, is driven significantly by exchange rate difference of a non-cash nature, which we bear in the P&L as a consequence of the level of debt and currency exposure versus the U.S. dollar. I remind you, this is an item which has a nature of non-cash because we hedge our cash flow, our significant cash inflows in dollars that derives to us from our American business, against the exposure in debt in the same currency. Taxes have been for the quarter about 6 million. This represents a tax rate just shy of 37%. And all in all, the net results, as Carlo mentioned before, has moved up versus previous year by 66% to 10.2 million for the quarter. EBITDA has increased by 62% from 15 million up to 24 million in 2008. With an improvement in the margin of 6 percentage points. If we move now to the analysis on the individual drivers of the growth, and if you move to slide number 3, you can see that if we talk about the technology contribution, chemiluminescence, or clear products, are those which drive significantly the growth of the group. 46% is the growth quarter versus quarter of Liaison product sales. I have to say that in the quarter we've experienced versus previous year also significant growth of ELISA sales, thanks mainly, however, to products of Biotrin. You will remember that Biotrin portfolio is entirely ELISA-based, and the contribution from Biotrin products quarter versus quarter is about 21%. The additional part of the growth is coming from mainly the Brazilian market, where we have seen the coming to fruition versus previous year, the tender that was assigned sometimes in the course of 2008. And that is also entire an ELISA supply. So So the growth, the significant growth of chemiluminescence has now brought liaison products to account from 58.3% of our turnover versus quarter four 2007, where they accounted for 53.4%. If we now move to the analysis by geographies on slide number four, you will notice that all the areas, all the geographical areas where we are present have contributed with at least a double-digit growth, starting from Italy, which has grown by 11% versus previous year's last quarter. The rest of Europe, with the exception of Italy, has grown by close to 18%, with some very significant performance in markets like Belgium, France, and Nordic, which have grown from 20% up to 87% on the Nordic market. North America, as already anticipated by Carlo, has accelerated the growth. In the quarter, we report a growth of 67.8%, with a contribution from Biotrim products, which accounts for about 9.5 percentage points. The same growth at comparable exchange rate. You will remember that during the quarter, the euro has devalued versus the US dollar. And the similar growth at comparable exchange rate, as you, as I was saying, would be 59% on the North American market. Rest of the world, which is mainly represented by emerging markets, Brazil has accounted for a growth of about 55% at comparable exchange rate. Israel for about 59%. China has grown close to 50%, despite of the fact that, if you remember, last year's last quarter, quarter four was already a fairly hefty quarter as compared to the rest of the year, because a large tender to be delivered in one solution had been accounted for in quarter four 2007. So the growth of close to 50% has to be seen also in that relation. And last but not least, the markets where we are not present directly have grown by almost 73% versus last year's quarter. If we then move to the improvement in profitability on slide number five, you find a recap of what are the key drivers in the improvement. If we just summarize the movement of gross margin by close to 4 percentage points, the movement of EBITDA from up by 6 percentage points, and the movement of EBIT up by more than 6 percentage points, the contribution to this comes from the structural facts that we already had discussed during the entire course of 2008, i.e. the improvement in the mix by technology, the fact that the chemiluminescence continues to have a higher and higher weight over the portfolio of the company, the improved geographical mix, the weight that North America sales represent, and within the technology sold in the U.S., clearly, an advantageous factor is the weight of vitamin D within the liaison portfolio. Then I would mention also the continuously lower incidence of the instrument depreciation, which we carry in our books above the gross profit, and last but not least, the increase of the decrease as a percentage of the turnover of operational expenses. We do not have to forget the contribution from Biotrim, which has been in line with expectation also for the fourth quarter. All in all, as we were discussing before, the net result for the quarter has gone up by 66% versus previous year, moving from 12.5% of sales up to 15% of sales, despite of the net financial costs that we already discussed before. On slide number six, you can find the details of the balance sheet. At the end of 2008, we had a net capital employed of 174 million, which is about 40 million higher than previous year. Part of this is clearly driven by tangible and intangible assets, which are following also the BioTrain acquisition, which was accounted for about 22.5 million. The remaining part of the development is coming out of the net working capital. If you look at the development of receivables, they follow the growth of the turnover, although I have to say that if you bear in mind that we carry in our receivables about 3 months of sales, and if you compare the trend of the last 3 months of the year with the previous one, you will definitely find that the receivables have grown far less than proportionally to the turnover. The net debt at the end of the quarter, or at the end of the year, 2008, was just below 20 million euros. Last year, in 2007, was 12.1 million. However, you have to bear in mind the impact of the acquisition of BioTrain, which was financed entirely through debt. And all in all, the equity has moved up by 34 million versus previous year, as mainly as a result of the income of the net income of 2008. I will make a few comments on the cash flow in the next slide. At the end of quarter four 2008, we had in hand cash and cash equivalents for about 17 million euros. Now, on slide number 7, there are a few comments on the cash flow development. In quarter four, we have reported operating cash flow of 15.3 million before capex of 9.1 million. You have to notice that within the 9.1 million, there are about 2.5 million euros which are accounted for as distribution rights acquired in respect of the policy of geographical expansion, so from existing distributors where we have turned to a direct distribution. And namely, we are talking about Austria, Germany for BioTrain products, and some else. In 2007, in the last quarter, we had reported 7 million operational cash flow before capex of 4.3 million. The net debt, I have already commented, is just shy of 20 million at year end. In quarter three of 2008 was 23.3 million. And the cash and cash equivalents at the end of quarter four amount to 17 million euros, but we have reimbursed a share of 13 million US dollars of the loan that we have contracted as a consequence of the BioTrain acquisition. Last but not least, I would like to share with you a glance to the full year estimated results for provisional results. The final full year 2008 results will be published as we will approve the year-end results on the 19th of March. And this is so the summation of the four quarters of 2008. As you can see, our revenues in 2008 has set a level of 244.6 million on a consolidated basis. That is a 21% growth versus previous year. On the full year, clearly we still have a negative effect driven by the exchange rate. At constant exchange rate versus previous year, the growth would have been 23.8%. There is within this growth also a component driven by BioTrain, which accounts for 2.4 percentage points. Gross profits have grown also more than proportionally to the turnover, and if you look at the margin, the development has been 200 basis points up versus what we achieved in 2007. Total operating expenses have moved by about 10 million up, which is clearly development less than proportionate to the turnover, so the percentage of sales has gone down by more than 3 percentage points. If we then look at EBIT and EBITDA on a comparable basis, so excluding the cost component of an exceptional nature that we incurred in 2007 as a consequence mainly of the IPO, which accounts for about 4 million. So if we compare EBIT and EBITDA ex non-recurring item, EBIT grew by 42% up to 71 million in 2008, and moving up by more than 4 percentage points versus previous year as a margin on sales, whereas EBITDA moved up by 34%, 3.5 percentage point as a percentage of turnover, with the absolute amount of 86 million in 2008. The net result of the full year 2008 exercise has now been set at 37.6 million euros, which represents a growth versus previous year of 49%. Last slide just summarize and recaps what are the next events that we expect. As I just mentioned, on March 19th, the Board of Directors will meet to approve the final 2008 results, and we will meet investors on March 24th and 25th during the STAR conference in Milan. With this, I would like to thank you and leave the space for the question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Fitzhugh Peters of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Afternoon, gentlemen. It's Fitz Peters from Goldman Sachs. A couple questions. First off, no mention of the Liaison Excel in the release or in the on the call so far. I'm just wondering if things are still on track. You know, if the machine is still planned for launch later this spring and for full release at the end of the year.
And sorry, you said a couple of questions. What is the second question?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Second question, if you're seeing any increase in inventory levels at the customers, if you know if their inventory levels are creeping up. And my third is just about the upcoming menu. We know HIV and Hep C and then the parovirus, you know, shifted to CLIA. But do you have anything else in the pipeline? Previously, you've mentioned pneumonia, measles, mumps. Just wondering if those are you know, forthcoming soon, or if there's anything else that you're looking at. Thank you.
Okay, let's start from the Excel. The Excel program is on track. We are planning to have to show the Excel for the first time to customers. As you know, we've been talking about Excel to the financial community more than to customers, due to the current interest on the Liaison. We are going to introduce to the market the Liaison Excel on May. We are organizing a worldwide event at the headquarters in Italy. We will invite close to 1,000 customers and show them features of the Liaison Excel. We expect a soft launch of the platform in quarter four, as we have stated before, and we believe that the Excel clearly will start to have an impact on revenues and placement starting from 2010.
Okay.
When it comes to second question was inventory. I don't see, honestly, inventory creeping up at the customer level. Actually, customers, as you know, are extremely careful in terms of their working capital. So I continue to see them working with between a week and 4 week inventory, depending on countries and customer size. The third question is related to menu. As we stated, HIV and hepatitis C are coming along with the Liaison Excel. They will be available only on the Liaison Excel. When it comes to parvovirus, we plan to launch parvovirus on the current Liaison as well. So the parvovirus will work as all the other reagents on both systems, and the launch is foreseen in September of 2009. When it comes to new products, we have indicated that we have two areas where we have directed our research and development, chlamydia and mycoplasma. of pneumonia, which are products that will complete our product offering on infectious disease, which is already fairly strong. The second area is to complete menu on bone and mineral. We are working on 125 hydroxy vitamin D, which we already offer in on the RIA technology, and clearly complete the offering on vitamin D, where we are already leader. And then we are working on a development of a PTH assay that again goes in line of kidney disease metabolic disorders.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Mr. John Wood of Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. This is actually Brandon Couillard in for John this morning. Have you witnessed any dislocation in the U.S. from the Quest Diagnostics vitamin D recall, and are you seeing any elevated interest from either existing or new customers since that recall?
No, we don't. Let me explain you why we should not see that. As you know, in the U.S., physicians do not have the ability, or they have a limited ability to decide to which lab they send their samples for testing, because that is more related to the kind of insurance that the patient is enrolled in, and therefore which kind of contract the insurance has with the laboratory providing the diagnostic services. What we see on the other side, though, is that lots of labs and hospitals are evaluating whether to bring in-house the vitamin D testing, and they were evaluating technologies. And today there are only two technologies that they can use, is either us or an homebrew with mass spec. And all these the discussions about mass spec have created more interest on our technology. So this is the positive effect that we see in the U.S.
Okay, thanks. And can you give us some color on how we should think about 2009 in terms of revenue growth, margin expansion goals, and tax rate as well?
Listen, as you know, we don't provide guidelines. You guys are much better than us in terms of understanding the fundamentals of the business and projecting the business. Our business is quite simple to predict, in my opinion, looking at the install base and revenues generated. As stated before, we don't provide any forward-looking statement on results.
Would you still expect, you know, roughly 400 placements though next year?
Listen, we have been installing in the last 3-4 years an average of 350-400 systems consistently, and so there should be no reason why we should doubt about our ability to place 400 systems.
Okay, and could you give us any sense of operating cash flow or CapEx numbers we should expect next year?
This is Andrea Sinelli. Listen, if you look at what has happened this year, I would expect that the ratio of cash flow generation versus EBITDA would remain fairly similar. And as it comes to CapEx, I think that the number we have always provided in the past, which is around 16 million euros, of which the vast majority is represented by the cost of the medical instruments, would not change in absolute amount. So I don't see CapEx going up as a consequence of the development of the business.
Okay, thanks. Could you give us the interest expense and interest income for the period?
For the
fourth quarter?
For sure. In the fourth quarter of 2008, the breakdown of the financial items is the following. We have interest on financial exposure of about just about 1 million, a little higher. On the pension fund, this is negative, this is passive interest. On the pension fund, we have about 300,000 euros. And we have interest income for about 140,000 euros. The difference to the 3.6 is clearly represented by the exchange rate difference, non-cash.
Okay, and then lastly, could you give us a sense, I'm sorry if I didn't hear this on the formal remarks, but what kind of tailwind did FX provide to the gross and operating margin line in the period?
I'm sorry, can you say it again?
What kind of a benefit did foreign exchange provide to the gross or operating margin line in the fourth quarter?
Okay, we have always stated that a 10% in devaluation or revaluation of the U.S. dollar has an effect of about a couple of million at EBIT level, at EBIT level. However, you have to bear in mind that this is not only the fourth quarter was affected not only by the uplift of the USD, but also by the devaluation of some other important currency for the group, and namely the reais, among others. Okay. So I cannot provide a firm indication of what is the impact of the currency effect versus the previous quarters of the year. But you may take as a reference the numbers I indicated.
Okay, thanks.
Next question is from Mr. Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Congratulations on another great quarter. Could you give me some color on buyer trend in the sense of, firstly, where you are in terms of switching from an ELISA test to a liaison test? Secondly, in terms of, is there anything else to be done in terms of bringing distribution of buyer trend tests in-house and exiting distributors?
Martin, okay, first, as I said before, we have completed the feasibility study on transitioning the ELISA products into the liaison, and I'm confident that we will be launching the liaison parvovirus in time in September 2009. When it comes to the distribution, I think we did a fantastic job in closing all distributors' agreement and buying the business where needed and transferring all business from the distribution network of Biotrin to Diasorin. Today, I have to report that within all the European countries, we have taken responsibility of the distribution of the products in all main markets. In Germany, we have acquired the business from the distributor that was their biggest market. In France, where they had a subsidiary, we closed down their subsidiary and we transferred all accounts and business to our company in Paris. In Australia, that is the last market where they were actively present. We have a distributor. We are working to transition the business from their distribution network to ours. So I would say that all these actions have generated first an uplift in the already fairly high profitability of Biotrin, and I think Biotrin today is contributing to the overall profitability of the company in a very positive way. And second, has allowed our commercial network now to take the responsibility over the development of sales. So we expect in 2009 to have a very nice growth of the parvo business due to all this.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And any other thoughts on M&A going forward, your ability to do M&A up to any particular size, and also are you seeing valuations more attractive or less attractive?
As stated before, in other conference calls, we clearly are looking into opportunities, and our leverage, as you know, is fairly low, and we have a very healthy generation of cash. We are looking outside in both on opportunities like Biotrin, where we would bring new technology and position of leadership, as well as understanding whether there are opportunities with some of the large companies where they have certain assets that they do not consider strategic, and we could bring value to those assets, integrating them within DiaSorin. So the answer is we continue to look for, but with, let me say, good common sense, meaning that we buy only what we think is worth for DiaSorin, also because we have all we need today to push our organic growth as we have been doing over the last few years.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Guy Thornville of RAFA. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had a couple of questions. Firstly, with the new machine, the XL, at the end of the year, do you anticipate there will be any sort of product transition issues in terms of customers delaying or not purchasing the old machine for while they wait for the new machine? Is there a transition that you have to manage there, and how do you intend to do that? And then secondly, on sort of your end customers, well, the labs, I mean, is there any change in, you know, from the economic environment in terms of the sort of number of labs generally, the sort of growth in that market, is that affected at all? Thank you.
In terms of the LIAISON XL, is very clear that it does pose a strategic question in a way that we need to transition customers. Today, the current LIAISON, as you have seen, is still very successful. And this is the reason why we have not been talking too much in the market about the LIAISON XL, to make sure that people continue to show interest. Our idea is that the launch will be driven by geographies. In 2010, for example, we are not going to touch the U.S. market, where the LIAISON is still strong, and there is lots of demand for the LIAISON. And we will start from some of the more mature markets offering the LIAISON XL, markets like Germany or Italy, where the LIAISON was launched first in the late 90s, and where we have a very solid install base. So I would say I agree with you, it's a challenge, and but we are going to manage it limiting geographies and starting from markets where the market is already saturated by the LIAISON today, and we need a bigger machine, so customers are going to be different than the ones that today would get the LIAISON. Sorry, you had
okay.
Another question, right? What was the second? Oh yeah.
Yeah, just sort of general impact from the economy in terms of your sort of your customer or potential customers. Is there any slowdown in sort of growth of or change in the number of laboratories globally? Sort of growth rates there or impact on customers?
Listen, we have not seen this effect for the time being. As you have seen for the quarter four results, one possible explanation is that we provide instruments in under reagent rental, and therefore we are not going to ask CapEx from hospitals. The second reason, in my opinion, is that there is in our field today a need of exchanging systems that were placed many years ago. There is an aging base of systems that is creating opportunities for DiaSorin. Third reason is that there is a very nice mix of geographies within our portfolio, and we have geographies where we have invested over the last few years that are contributing significantly to the growth today. So we have a very balanced geographical strategy that is allowing us, let me say, to take a hit in geographies where you may have a slowdown and still use the opportunities in geographies where you still have a strong growth. irregardless of the financial situation.
Great, thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Stefan Schumach of Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. So this is Stefan from Exane. I've got a couple of questions. The first one is regarding the factoring you are using, I guess, to develop in Italy. I would like to know what was the negative impact, the cost, the financial charges attached to this factoring operations. And I would like also to know if you see some stress on the interest rates you've been required to use this financial tools. And my second question is regarding it's a more accounting question. Does extra non-cash financial charges attached to the change in the US dollars being tax deductible, please?
Okay, I'll take both questions. First of all, in terms of factoring without recourse, out of the 1 million of interest that I mentioned before, about 370,000 euros are accountable on factoring operations. Okay. No, to be honest with you, we have not seen any cascading down of the tension of interest rates on the factoring operation. In fact, in the course of 2008, although before the financial crisis, we managed to reduce significantly the commissions we paid to the factoring company. As far as the exchange rate differences are concerned, yes, they are tax deductible, but only when they are realized. So if you keep them in the books as non-realized, as it is in part our case, they are non-tax deductible, but they do not affect the tax rate through the use of deferred taxation.
Okay, that's why we get this this switch, important switch in the tax rate over the full year.
The important, you mean in the quarter?
Yes, in the quarter.
In the quarter four, we have a tax rate which is about
37.
If you refer to the comparison of previous year, no, in previous year the effect was a completely different one. In the previous year, if you remember, we had the reform of the taxation in Germany and...
Yes, okay, you're right, thank you.
In that case, we had to release deferred taxation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Andrea.
Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Fitzpeters from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, gentlemen. Just a quick follow-up, actually two questions. First is, what portion of the placements, the liaison placements, are sales, and what portion are still held on your balance sheet? And the second question, you talked about the real exposure. I was wondering if you could give a little color on what portion of the rest of the world is Brazil, and is it the majority of it, or are there other large countries that make up a portion that make up that rest of the world category? Thank you.
Okay. In terms of placement, if you take the number of placements during the year, which on average are about 400 or above, I would say about 20 to 25% of those placements occur through sale of the instruments to our distributors mainly. Okay, the vast majority of our direct customer, on the other hand, take the instruments under reagent rental on comodatum.
So that's largely unchanged from 2007.
That is what?
Unchanged from 2007.
Yes. What was the other question? I apologize.
What portion of the rest of the world is Brazil? Is that the majority of the rest of the world, or is it...
Brazil is accounting for about 50% of the rest of the world, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
A little less, probably.
Next question is from Mr. Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody, and first of all, my compliments for the results. A quick question on your placings in the fourth quarter, the 120 machines. Is there any strange seasonality? Is there any particular strange orders or tenders you got? Is there some make us think that this 120 is not a run rate?
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't think this is an effect of the seasonality, and there is no particular reason why it should be higher than the average rate. Apart from the usual tender, which are assigned in the last part of the year, which carry some installation, but there would not be a significant effect on the total installation. So, if I read between the lines of your question, I do believe that the rate of, on average, 400 or 400 and plus instruments per year is something that is going to be repeated in the future as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Next question is from Mr. Patrick Fuchs of RCM. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. I have basically a question regarding the market growth that you're seeing, taking out the vitamin D and the acquired and the newly developed tests. What do you see as market growth or the let's say your established test portfolio without the new additions? That means what part of the growth is really made from the new tests and what part is from the what has already been introduced. Second question comes to the again to the debt and to the revaluation of debt. In Q3 you had 5.8 million. In this quarter you had just 2.4 million. So does this mean then from the interest expenditure or what? For your net financial income would then be for the year somehow around 3 million only, if that's right calculation. Thanks.
Okay. I'll take first the second question and I'll leave the floor to Carlo Rosa on the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Your calculation is correct. If you look at the quarter three results and you add up the quarter four exchange rate difference, the total amount to about 6.5 million, as compared to the 10 and odd million euros of overall interest charge. So if you take out the effect of the valuation of the debt, the total interest charge is about 3.5 million.
Okay.
In terms of the potential of vitamin D,
the question on was not, I think, on potential vitamin D. If I understand correctly, you want to understand market growth rate?
Yeah. Underlying, I mean, you're growing nicely by additions of tests and by introducing new tests, but what your the underlying growth without the additions, basically, and the let's say, the outstanding situation, positively outstanding situation for vitamin D?
I think that it would be quite difficult to be so specific. Let me just make some remarks. I think it depends first a lot on geographies. We see very strong growth in countries like China, Brazil, and Israel, and Mexico, where I think you have a combination of market growth on one side and the fact that we take a lot of business. Then, rather than looking at geographies, if you look at different product families, we see that on the infectious disease side, there is a nice growth. I believe that the market growth on generally around 5-6%, and we have an overall sales growth around 30%. Which again is saying that that's an area where our specialties are appreciated and we continue to take business from competitors. When it comes to oncology and thyroid disorders, I think that we are growing at the same, the market grows around 5%, and we experience a growth around 10-11%, which means, again, we are taking business from other competitors. Vitamin D is and the bone and mineral metabolism is clearly another story, and it has to do with demand growth, demand creation in.
There is a noise. There's a terrible noise in the Yeah. Okay. No. Sorry. Please continue.
Yes. So when it comes to vitamin D, the trend is completely driven by demand growth. Although, which I think is very interesting, in order to understand the potential of this market for vitamin D is to talk about penetration of vitamin D testing in the population. And we have seen recently, we are looking at this business from this perspective. We have seen that we have countries where that we consider fully developed, where the vitamin D has come to a point where it represents 10% of the total population, which means that 10% of the total population has been tested for vitamin D, and that is clearly a sign of fully exploitation of the market. And this is true for certain Nordic countries, for example. Whereas there are countries like the U.S. Where still that number is far below, or other European countries where that number is below 1%. So we believe that in vitamin D there is still a growth opportunities. Please consider that we are developing alongside the 25-hydroxy vitamin D other products that are important in the pathway of vitamin D, or the vitamin D metabolism that we already have in RIA technology, and will continue to strengthen our position in that field.
Last question on vitamin D. Do you see a certain seasonality in terms of, as vitamin D problems arise from missing sunlight, do you see some increased testing in wintertime in your territories compared to summertime, and could they develop with the time, with getting vitamin D more important for you? Could there be some summer-winter seasonality for testing of vitamin D?
Listen, to due to the demand in vitamin D, I don't think it is easy today to understand the real drivers. In the theory, you should see a seasonality, meaning that it's very clear that recommendations are for testing during winter time, so that you see the true values of vitamin D rather than the fictitious value that you would see when you have a greater sun exposure. Although you need to consider that one of the reasons for vitamin D deficiencies, even in countries where there is a wide availability of sun, and take Israel for example, is that there has been an obsessive campaign over the last few years related to the risk of melanoma and sun exposure, and the use of sun protection creams and so what lotions. And so what happened really is that even in seasons where you would expect the deficiency not to be there, an extreme use of sun lotions contributes any way to the deficiency.
No, that's right. Thanks. Thank you.
There's a follow-up question from Mr. Stéphane Sumard of Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, this is Stéphane again. Could you please give me the absolute contribution of Biotrin over 2008, please?
Sure, Stéphane. In quarter four, Biotrin, I think that I said it before, contributed to the growth for
9.5,
4 percentage points. Just
yeah. But the absolute contribution over 2008 in euro term.
I'm sorry, say it again.
What was the contribution, the sales realized by Biotrin over 2000? What has been consolidated in 2008 in euro? Please.
In terms of total sales for 2008, which were of Biotrin products which were not present in 2007, if this is your question, it is about 4.9 million euros.
Okay, so can't we can continue to end. What was the growth, the organic growth for Biotrin standalone?
The organic growth has been normally about 10%.
Okay.
Year on year.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, you cannot consider into this the effect of converting from indirect to direct distribution.
Okay, and pro forma sales for Biotrin, I guess, is around 10 million euros.
Sorry, say it again.
Pro forma 12-month sales for Biotrin, taking also into account the period in which during which the group was not part of Yasserin, is more or less 10 million euros, I guess.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions at this time.
Okay, thanks. Grazie.
Thank you very much.